Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, March 31st, 2017. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Oh, it's Casual Friday, folks. Another 15-day-long week has come to an end. We wrap it up on Friday. Seems like the weekends are about 15 minutes long, and the weeks are an eternity. Welcome to America in the age of Trump. Fortunately, with us on this Casual Friday, Cliff Schechter from Cliff Schechter's place. Also on the program, joining us today, Maggie Mayfield and my old friend David Waterman from the Y-Tune Shuffle podcast will be joining us. Also on the program, Flynn wants immunity, but he doesn't really have anything to give. You'll have to wait and hear what I say. And Nunes, turns out his sources were actually White House staffers. Meanwhile, under Betsy DeVos, the Education Department planning to screw former students now doing public service. Republicans vote to allow states to defund Planned Parenthood. And Prince is gone, but we still have Rex Tillerson. On Gorsuch, Dems are down 3, but filibuster still intact and holding. And surprise, 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 Trump not going to renegotiate NAFTA after all. Shocking indeed, ladies and gentlemen. All that and more on today's Majority Report. Folks, this is pretty exciting. I don't know if you can remember back all the way to last spring. Well, first off, I should say, I mean, with no purpose other than acknowledging it, today is March 31st, 2017. This is, I got to send a text to Janine. This is the 13-year anniversary of the Majority Report. This program launched on this day in 2004 at 7 p.m. I think it was 7 p.m. at that time. We had a 7 to 10 p.m. Time slot. And we launched with what we called at that time College Radio Meets College Radio. And that was our first Majority Report.
Matt was in the kindergarten.
I was a sophomore in high school.
Well, that's not that young. Yeah. I mean, you're not in junior high, at least. So with that out of the way, let's celebrate spring. And this is how we're going to do it, folks. Starting tonight at 12 a.m., Just Coffee's got a huge sale. People went bonkers over this last year. And that's why I haven't been specifically not talking about Just Coffee the past 3 or 4 days. If you use the coupon code, instead of Majority, you use MR Spring, capital M, capital R, capital S, Spring. Maybe you don't need, I don't know, maybe it's not capital sensitive. Spring 17, you will get 30% off your coffee order. This is with free shipping at justcoffee.com. So you've heard me talk about Just Coffee. Maybe you've heard Mark Maron talk about it and do his dumb little pow thing,
boo,
which he hasn't given up on in 10 years. And he just, I crap my pants. That's what he would say. That's what he said. But you have an opportunity to get 30% off. MR Spring 17. Go try a bunch of the different coffees. Try the Majority Report blend. Buy it for your friends. MR Spring. Get 30% off at justcoffee.coop. We will put that on the blog and also in the show description today. All right, I want to just do this clip because it's pretty funny, and then we will get to it with Cliff. So, as you know, Bill O'Reilly brings on their Fox News strategic analyst, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. It has come out that Devin Nunes, his supposed contact that he met on the White House grounds, because there was a skiff there or whatever it is, a secure location to look at intel. It sounded like he was meeting someone from the intelligence agencies. Well, it turns out he was actually meeting with the White House appointed liaison to the intelligence agencies. And Bill O'Reilly is having on Ralph Peters, who I think is, you know, I don't know that he has really any credibility, frankly, but I like the fact that Bill O'Reilly has lost control of his own narrative in these two segments. So here's Bill O'Reilly. Look at the windup. And then the ball bounces about 6 feet before the plate. Here we go.
There was a hearing in the Senate and new information about who showed Congressman Devin Nunes classified information on the White House grounds. Joining us from Washington, Fox News.
Pause it for one second. Does he just say this with names that are not fully Americanized?
What do you think? Use your brain over there.
Nunes.
Sam Sador.
Colonel Peters. No, that's too American. I don't need to do that.
Nunes, classified information on the White House grounds. Joining us from Washington, Fox News strategic analyst, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. First of all, John Roberts just sent up this to me. And this is so crazy what's going on now. And I say that because it's being used as propaganda rather than fact. Apparently, the National Security Council, and they have an office on the White House, came across a number of instances where members of the Trump campaign, including the president himself, showed up on intelligence wiretaps. That's transcripts of secretly recorded conversations. Two White House guys called Nunes, the head of the House Intelligence Committee, to the White House to look at the stuff, to look at what was thing. Nunes then said, I saw shocking stuff. It didn't have anything to do with Russia. It was shocking, shocking, shocking. And talked to President Trump about it. Okay, so that's what happened. Is there a scandal here? Is there anything here that you're seeing as our security expert that I'm not seeing?
Well, there is a sort of scandal in the fact that this wasn't the National Security Council servicing these documents. It was a couple of Trump appointees assigned to the National Security Council. This wasn't H.R. McMaster. And it was clearly another attempt to divert attention from the main issue, which is a question of whether or not Vladimir Putin's regime was able to penetrate the Trump campaign and potentially the administration.
It's not going the way I want it.
Hold on for a second. Did anybody vet you before we came on? And so, now Bill O'Reilly is going to take a slightly different angle. And that is, I'm going to say, now this whole thing, though, the real scandal is with Nunes.
I'm drunk.
He's going to try it from the other side now. Here we go.
Though, if Donald Trump and some high member of his transition team are caught on wiretaps, and as you know, it's supposed to be blanked out, they're not, and now they're on transcripts in our intel agencies. I think that's an important story, is it not?
No, I think it's a BS story, and it's phony, and nobody's released those.
Whoops.
What happened to you, Ralphie boy?
Folks, if you're looking for a producer of a television program, you're looking to hire one, I think one might be available in town.
What happened to Peters? We used to talk about why Barack Obama was too soft to kill kids.
Devin Nunes.
I had you all teed up.
Guys, they're just going to say a bunch of ethnic sounds. You know, he's like Colonel Ralph. He's like Colonel Ralph Peters. No, he's like Colonel Ralph Peters. Normal name. Normal name. Not Nunes.
Talking with you is like talking to my wife. I hate you.
So there you have.
The tenor Andrea Bocelli.
Oh gosh. Well, there you have it, folks. Just another, we got to get the D-man on here if we're going to get control of our show. I think that's what he said. We're going to take a quick break. Just a reminder, this program relies on your membership. If you have the financial means to support this program, please do. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. And of course, if you want the bonus material that we give every day, actually longer. It's like one of those things, like maybe I'm dreaming. Maybe none of you exist. Maybe you're all just in my dream. Well, maybe actually the bonus material is the first half of the show. And maybe the second half of the show is the real show. What do you think about that? I'm going to blow anybody's mind. But if you want the second half of the show, Kelly's steaming about that. She doesn't like that.
You're a little off the rails. It's fine. It's good.
Some Friday. People won't listen to the second half of the show if their wives are not in the room.
That's right. Some people, it may be a little bit dangerous to listen to the show.
I just don't want to hear that right-wing Mandela impression. If my wife's not around, just doesn't feel right.
If you don't have the financial means to become a member, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com, and we will wheel and deal with you. All right, quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is Casual Friday on the Majority Report, and people say, why is this day different than all other days? On all other days, we just have the musical interlude before the guest comes, but on this day, we play this.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Did you hear that, Cliff? Did you hear that? That I'm already getting into the Passover mode.
I thought you maybe heard me laughing a little bit. I enjoyed how you made this day different than all others.
No, I didn't. And I just realized, though, that I've just blown it for next Friday, which would have been the day to lead into the Passover stuff. But
we all have short memories. By then, at least like 14 more scandals will have happened, and people won't have enough sort of space in their brains to remember this, and you can just do the whole thing again.
I was going to say, next Friday is going to feel like this Friday was like a year earlier, so we should be fine.
That's exactly right.
Now, this week we didn't have any major legislative failure by the Trump administration. And
also known as a good week.
Exactly. I mean, I have to say, and I want to get into this Flynn stuff. I want to get into this Nunes stuff. I mean, it would be obviously, you know, there's no way to avoid something like this. And you know, the good news is that we're starting to hear some single payer talk. Bernie Sanders introducing a bill. I'm starting to hear people talk about it. You know, Gavin Newsom maybe introduced something like this in California. People are starting to talk
New
about
York,
it.
I've been hearing about it, right?
In New York, and we'll talk about that next week.
If Andrew Cuomo can't find a way to pretend he's liberal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, this is, obviously the Gorsuch stuff we'll touch on, but
And also we definitely have to leave some time to talk about all the great work that Susan B. Anthony is doing.
You know what? We have that. We'll play that that clip. We have a fascinating clip to play of Donald Trump. But all right, let's start with Lynn, because, you know, the upside of this stuff is it is clear. One thing is really clear, that aside from like a random tweet from Trump about the Freedom Caucus, you know, like a Trump flailing around trying to figure out what his angle is going to be. This, whatever it is, I mean, known as the Russia stuff, is completely, it seems to me, dominating what's going on in the White House at this point, and probably with good reason. And which is good, because it means that they can do less damage, it seems to
That's
me.
That's right.
But
yeah, I mean, it's engulfing them, you know? I mean, they've certainly tried. I think that sending, you know, Sean Spicer out to lie about things only ends up creating more controversies. I mean, as often is the case, and certainly Donald Trump has proven his entire life that his mouth or his tweet are, you know, his worst enemies. They make all this stuff that much worse, because sometimes some of these things really aren't that big of a deal, and they make them into a bigger deal by being idiots and attacking and, you know, and going after, I don't know, African-American reporters, for example. But some are a big deal. I mean, we just found out, obviously, that Nunes, as everybody was predicting and knew, got the information he got from the White House. He's basically running a defense operation when his job is actually to be the prosecutor. There's no clearer case, you know, for the people that wasted God knows how much time on Benghazi, that one of their own should be thrown off of a committee, if not be brought up on charges, potentially. I mean, he's all angry about information being leaked, and he's potentially illegally leaking information.
All right. Well, let's look at the perspective of Ted Yoho. This is he's a congressman from Florida's 3rd District. He was on with NBC's Craig Melvin, maybe MSNBC. I don't know who. I don't know what network he's on now. It's either I guess it's MSNBC. So here's Ted Yoho. this is really sort of stunning in a way. I mean, I don't know if he's just misspeaking, but I think this gives you a sense of what the Republican perspective is in terms of their role in this whole investigation. Here's Ted Yoho.
Are you concerned at all that he was viewing what he said was classified information at the White House, then reported it back to the White House?
Well, you got to keep in mind who he works for. He works for the president. He answers to the president.
Does he, or so, does he work for the constituents of his district?
Well, you do both, but when you're in that capacity, if you've got information, I'm okay with what he did.
Now, wait a second. Now, Cliff.
That is one of the dumbest, I mean, Do these guys take bait? I mean, this is... I didn't even... I'm sorry, I'm reacting with shock because that's one that I hadn't caught yet. Maybe it's my fault because I was on vacation until 2 days ago.
Well, you know a lot about civics. Do congressmen, do they work for the president of the United States? Do they, are they supposed to report to the United States? Do they work for the United States? And even if, or are they supposed to do both, work for the president of the United States and their constituents? I mean,
no, I learned this strange thing from Saturday morning cartoons. You know, they'd have like, I'm just a bill up on Capitol Hill and stuff. And I through all that, which by the way, we may want to take Ted Yoho to a dark room and a Clockwork Orange style, pin his eyelids open and make him watch all of those things. So maybe he'll learn something about the body he's serving in. I mean, this really does bother me that the people who serve it, I mean, they can be conservative, but they're so ignorantly conservative. They're so stupid about what it is. You know, they actually do. Can you trust somebody's judgment on anything when he doesn't get that? No, a congressman is part of the Congress. It is a body. It is one of the three distinct bodies of our government, of our federal government. And it, is, in fact, is supposed to play a role. It's called a balance of powers. And they're supposed to the particular role that Devin Nunes is supposed to play on the committee is on is that of an oversight. I know it's a big word for Ted Yoko or whatever his name is. You know, an oversight role. That's the role he's supposed to be playing here. He's not supposed to be being teammates with Donald Trump. He doesn't work for Donald Trump. He works for us.
Well, of course. I mean, I don't even know that it's stupidity as much as it just shows like they have a real problem that they can't even pretend not to do that. Right. I mean, that's
right. I don't think they understand the way our government works. Honestly. I mean, I'm serious. There are some just people who some of these guys who are conservative and they were interested in government and they ran and they get how things, you know, they get how things work and they're still terrible people. I'd call Paul Ryan among those. But then there's this Tea Party wave, which Yoho comes from. And that to me seems to have introduced some of the dumbest people I've ever seen on television. And that's a big statement into Congress who just were people who were sitting at home like other, you know, people like themselves, undereducated and angry and reacting to stuff they saw on TV or heard on Rush Limbaugh and decide to run for office with no clue of the actual sort of importance of the role that various branches of our government play and balancing each other out and overseeing each other and all, you know, what democracy actually is. This guy clearly, he has no idea. I don't think it's ever even crossed his mind before. He probably thinks what he said is right.
Full-on authoritarian. I think he perceives himself as like, oh, I'm a duke and he's the king. And that's what you do, you know.
No getting into political science theory with him. He's a moron, you know. And I'm not just saying this. He's one of the guys, you know, I have to go back and try to remember, but he's one of the ones who I believe after Newtown talked about we should be introducing guns into schools that would make them safer. I mean, he's one of those, right, who simple slogans, you know, plop four words on a bumper sticker about something. And that's about as far as he can delve into anything. So, I mean, this is the, you know, and there's 50 just like him, if not a lot more.
Now, listen,
in the House.
I've mentioned my theory about what Nunes was doing before, but I want to play this clip from Jack Kingston, who was on CNN, because so now we know Nunes just went and I've heard that they're refuting it was actually two of the officials. It was just maybe one of the officials, but it was a liaison basically to the National Security Council who Nunes met with to go over this information, which turns out to be information where Trump's people in the White House were recorded on transcripts, were seen on transcripts with foreign officials who were being wiretapped, and it was all about how they were going to curry favor with the Trump family and his business interests. So it didn't have anything to do with Russia, which in some respects I think is probably a very similar dynamic to what the whole Russia story is about, just full-on graft and corruption in some fashion. But here's, let's talk about the timing for a moment, okay?
Well, can you tell me quickly, what is your theory of what Nunez is doing?
I'm gonna tell you. Let's first listen to Jack Kingston on one of these major CNN panels with like eight people, like a Brady Bunch thing. I think it's clear they had this information for a while and they were using it as an excuse. Here, let's listen.
When he was asked about his tweets, and he said, really wiretapping, maybe it was surveillance, said, you're going to find out more in a couple of weeks.
Well, so my
my question to you, Jack?
I know where you're going, I think, but go ahead.
Okay, well, look, let me ask you. The question is, what was the president talking about, and what did he know, and did he actually know what Devin Nunes finally learned?
Well, let me say this. I have had the honor of meeting and talking to Donald Trump.
He is
a kind of optimistic guy who's always going to say, you're going to be very proud of the wall. We're going to build the wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. We're going to have more jobs. We're going to have jobs right and left. He is the kind of guy who will always kind of bet on the come. And say something like that, I don't think there's anything nefarious. I don't think, hey, Devin Nunes, we've got this orchestrated. I really and truly do not believe that they are organized enough to orchestrate something
like this. Well, why would he say that?
So he was just making stuff up? So you're saying he was just making stuff up? He says that, I think it was a throwaway line. I think it was, you're going to be surprised at the information that comes out. I think he could say the same thing right now.
And then when Sean Spicer said, wait till the end of the week to see what comes out, was he also just being optimistic?
I can't say anything about where Sean was coming from on that. I just know on the president, the way he talks, I would say that's the way it was a throwaway line.
Okay, so Cliff, here's the point. Aside from the fact that Jack Kingston feels like Donald Trump's just the type of guy like, hey, give my kids money, companies money, and then we'll see. Maybe you guys will get that trade deal you wanted. Well, who knows?
Isn't the guy saying the world is going to blow up and crime is everywhere? I mean, yes.
I'm just betting on the come.
The way Escape from New York.
Betting on the come. But here's the thing. It is quite clear that Donald Trump and Sean Spicer knew about this information for at least a couple of weeks before Nunes got this call that had him rush to the White House to get it. It seems to me that it is quite a coincidence that Nunes got this call on the day after he had been briefed by James Comey, because they wanted to get him to the White House after this briefing. And, you know, on one hand, it could have been like, this is going to be a distraction. We're going to hold this material as a sort of a press distraction. But it also has very conveniently Devin Nunes complete cover for going to the White House and telling the White House everything that Comey told him. And so this whole story about that he got this information, look, the White House clearly had this information. They could have leaked it in a different way. Why implicate Nunes? If you want to get it out there and create a story, why implicate Nunes in this? I think they wanted Nunes at the White House because they wanted to have him in that skiff or whatever it was to tell the president and to tell the people there, this is what James Comey has. And that still seems to me to be the most obvious explanation of why he was there. Not to get information, to give information.
That's right. And he becomes the voice behind the information, and he's on the committee, and hopefully that gives it credibility, right? And that so it's not just coming from them.
Well, yes, but I'm saying I think that was secondary motive. I'm saying they wanted to know what James Comey has, because this is the first time that Nunes finds out. And they don't know what James Comey has. And so they want to know, because whatever it is, they want to be able to get their story straight if they ever get questioned. A, and B, they want to stop contact with, I don't know, whoever it is.
In case what everybody's saying about Flynn, if he's turning state's evidence against them, they need to start preparing.
Let's talk about Flynn, because I'm a little bit skeptical about this. Story breaks in Wall Street Journal last night that Michael Flynn has requested or said, If you give me immunity, and he's saying this to the Senate Intelligence Committee, which has already rejected the offer, the House Intelligence Committee, and the FBI, give me immunity, and his lawyer claims that he has a story to tell. Let's just first let Michael Flynn argue what it means when you get immunity. Yes, this is from Meet the Press, NBC News.
It's beautiful is what it is.
The very last thing that John Podesta just said is no individual too big to jail. That should include people like Hillary Clinton. I mean, five people around her have been given immunity, to include her former chief of staff. When you are given immunity, that means that you've probably committed a crime.
Now, that's Mike Flynn. Yeah. Well, I mean, but here's the difference.
It sucks for these guys that videotaping technology exists.
Those people were given immunity, okay? He's asking for it.
Begging for it.
And I would imagine it's because he knows he's screwed, right? Like, you can't go and tell the Turks, I will arrange a kidnapping of a guy in exile for you, of someone who's in this country legally, and deliver them to you. That's illegal.
We consider that to be, that's frowned upon.
Yes.
In this country.
Not registering as a foreign lobbyist when you are is illegal. And so he knows he's screwed. I don't think he has much, because if he did, we wouldn't know about it right now.
The guy who I think who has it all is Manafort.
I think you're probably right.
That's the one who you need to put the pressure on and essentially make clear. I think, you know, they should pull one of those deals where they're like, yeah, you know, we could try you here, but we're going to send you back to the Ukraine to let them try you. Maybe they ought to work on that. Because they want him. They want to try him for you know, all the stolen government assets and everything there. I mean, you know, he's the one piece that keeps coming up that has been connected into that Putin universe for a good decade plus now.
Yeah.
And so I think I almost feel like, and even when he left the campaign, he was still in close contact with them. He was still helping them during the transition. I almost feel like he's the nexus of all of this. And I have to believe, you know, Carter Page was connected to him. I have to believe he was the guy who was doing a lot of the meeting and passing on information. And he's also, of course, connected to the money laundering banks in places like Cyprus. He touches on everything.
Yeah.
But it's not to say there aren't other guys here who probably know a good deal or know enough to what they could say could easily turn into a beyond impeachable offense for Trump. So, I mean, as we sort of started off this segment with, I'm not sure either what Flynn knows. As you said, we know he's broken a couple of law. I mean, you know, what the kidnapping thing you brought up, not registering as a foreign agent. We don't ever really enforce the Logan Act here, but certainly there's questions when he's having conversations about policy with Russian ambassadors and saying, you know, and saying, you know, potentially quid pro quo, you change this, don't worry, we're going to take care of things and we're going to get rid of the sanctions. There's a lot of stuff for him to be scared of. I would add to that he may want to have a taster sort of taste his tea for polonium.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he has that much.
He may not have enough, but he's worth it.
And now, what wouldn't surprise me is...
If I were Paul Manafort, however, I'm not sure I'd eat or drink anything anymore.
Yes, that I think... I mean, I think this is a guy who... I think all of this is really ultimately about crime and money laundering, and a lot less than... at least from the perspective of the U.S. players, a lot less about... espionage, and a lot more about just making cash.
I think that's some of it. I really do think when I start looking at and some people I trust on foreign policy issues and reading about it and looking, I really do believe that there was a foreign policy trade for that money and for that, you know, and there was getting rid of the sanctions, and that would benefit oil companies and gas enterprises in both Russia particularly, but also in the United States. I do believe the going and changing of that the policy that the Republicans had towards the Ukraine and their platform, the stuff that they started to come out and say, Flynn, Trump, whatever, about working closer with Russia, about ending sanctions, about NATO being obsolete, about the EU being obsolete. I really do believe that these are all. I think Putin was buying himself a foreign policy. I really do. I mean, I could be proven wrong about that, but there seem to be a lot.
I just think that these guys. I just think that these guys are just like, yeah, of course we're going to be nice to the Russian mobsters that we have, you know, have.
But I've been working with for years.
I've been working with for years. Who've been overpaying for my real estate and who've been loaning me money. And,
right, Trump had been working with them for years, you know, separate, you know, from Manafort. I agree with you. I don't think Trump even. I think Trump is sociopathic enough, or maybe that's not the right word here. I'm not trying to think of what the right word is. He's just, you know, that there aren't rules in his world. You do things to benefit yourself, and they're worth it, and that's the way you conduct.
Yeah, I don't think he.
I don't think he cared either way. It wasn't like it was like you know. I think they came to him probably with this proposition. He's like, oh, so we can get rich, and I can probably write off some debt or get rid of some debt, and I can you know this, that, and the other thing. And all we have to do is change our policy and say we're not going to really support the Ukraine, who I don't give a shit about anyhow, and NATO, which I don't care about anyhow, because what does NATO do? Right. I don't think he thought he was giving up anything big.
I think it's even once removed from that. I don't think that Donald Trump or any of them knew that they were dealing with anybody from the Russian government. I think they were just dealing with basically, you know, as far as they were concerned, it was Joey No Socks. It was just a bunch of guys like that. And, you know, they don't think that Joey No Socks is, you know, trying to push Italian policy. And it's just so happens like, hey, I got a buddy. You know, Dimitri, tell Donald what he should do with the Ukraine.
Carter Page and some of the other ones are not that ignorant.
And Dimitri's there taking a shot of vodka. He goes, you know what you should do? You should just fuck the EU. You don't need them. Why do you need them? And he goes, you know what? You're right. Like, I don't think he has any more depth when it comes to these decisions than he did about healthcare. I think he just like, one guy says
I couldn't agree more. That's kind of the point, I guess. Maybe I'm not being clear. That's the point I'm trying to make, which is, to him, I don't think it wasn't a big deal. Just the way healthcare isn't a big deal. Just the way nothing is that doesn't affect him financially or how he views himself publicly and others view him in his mind publicly. I'm just saying I don't think it was a big deal. I don't think he really knew the significance of it because nothing's significant in that mind outside of the narcissistic self. It doesn't change the fact that he still knew he was doing something and that still happens to be illegal. I mean, if you don't really feel that bad about shooting somebody, it's still an illegal act. You know, the
Boris,
point is that
what should I do?
What he did,
well,
the other guys Andrew, probably set it up.
Angela Merkel is a two. Well, screw her.
Total two.
Total two. I'm not going to.
Yep.
I mean, I think a lot of the behavior that we're seeing is really people just, I mean, I you know, just my experience at working at Air America still continues to hold, which is that more often than not, it's just a huge amount of incompetence with maybe one tiny sort of like, you know, I think these guys are just their behavior is more criminal than it is espionage. But they just I think it's just one of those things where they didn't realize they were talking to Russian operatives.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I think it is more criminal. I'm even saying I think in Trump's mind, I don't even really think he fully gets how criminal it is because I don't think he processes stuff
way. No, I'm just
if it's in his
it's
interest,
business.
It's not criminal.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just fine. If other people don't exist in his brain, I mean, I'm not even saying that to attack him. I think this is honestly just he's so narcissistic that this is just the way he works. So those contractors who he didn't pay, you know, for all of his casinos, that was his business plan. That wasn't like he was angry or whatever. It was here's a way to get out of paying money, and that helps me, and that's what matters. You know, that's how the world works to him. So whether it's a contractor whose piano company goes out of business because he won't pay the guy for, you know, delivering his pianos to Atlantic City casinos, or it's trading, you know, the Ukraine and saying, who cares about them? I'm going to get money from this and I'm going to get, you know, power from this. That's all the same in his mind. It's about what benefits Trump. So I don't really even think he gets fully the criminal actions or the treason, frankly, that it is. But I do think Carter Page and some of these other guys probably do. And it doesn't really matter whether Trump gets it or not. It's illegal. And I have no doubt in my mind he was actively involved. The question is for them to prove that link.
Yeah, indeed. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, the beauty of this stuff. And I don't know, I guess there was a report that Michael Steele, right, was telling his clients, what was it?
Michael Steele told West Wing reports at a lunch yesterday that Trump isn't going to finish his term and to start making connections with Vice President Pence.
Now, you know, that's the type of thing that you would anticipate a guy like Michael Steele who works in that world saying, just to get the ball rolling. You know what I mean? Right. Like that. You know, sometimes you go out there and you say these things to put the idea out there, and so people, get the idea that that's happening, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. But so the upshot of this stuff is that it is a huge distraction. Nevertheless, there's really basically two prongs where the Trump administration continues to do damage, and this is and we may see it even more so, obviously, when we get to the budget. It'll be interesting to see if there's a government shutdown. But I want to talk first about this vote that the Republicans took. I mean, this is, I don't know, this Title 10
thing. About the Title 10?
Yeah, please, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, yeah, so it essentially, they tried already, as people probably know, as part of their repeal and replace the ACA, to completely defund Planned Parenthood to a point where Medicaid would not be able to cover using Planned Parenthood. And that would have been a much bigger blow even than this. But for the Title X funds, it basically allows states to pull funds from being used for birth control family planning. And this was, I guess, the closest they can get. I didn't see the exact.
Well, it's not even birth. No federal funds are allowed to be used for abortion. So,
well, that's already the law.
That's already the law. So basically, it says the U.S. government gives funds to states earmarked for Planned Parenthood as part of providing, because of, through Medicaid payments, essentially.
Right, providing non-abortion, yeah.
Healthcare issues for women, because mm-hmm. these clinics are in places where there's no other options for women to get healthcare, healthcare, and broad-based healthcare. And and this basically
we're saying healthcare for broad,
right? Exactly. And this basically allows right-wing reactionary states to cut that funding to Planned Parenthood.
It ends up not being just right-wing reactionary states, sadly, because again, we have to all remember, and I'm reminded of this daily living in one of these states, that with what Republicans accomplished in 2010. We're talking about Pennsylvania, although at least they've got a Democratic governor now. But we're talking about Michigan. We're talking about Ohio. We're talking about, you know, Arizona. We're talking about plenty of swing states where Republicans gerrymandered their way to still massively controlling these states. And, yeah, they can cut the funding that's going to Planned Parenthood. So this was sort of like their second choice, a way to still at least stop funds in some places from going to Planned Parenthood, hurting them because they couldn't pull off the overall deal. And the real pathetic shame of it is that Mike Pence was the tie-breaking vote on it. They can only get 50 votes. The two that I remember speaking out against it, shockingly, were women, not shockingly, you know, right. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. I'm assuming they're the two that didn't vote for it. But I think some people better remind in 2018 Dean Heller of Nevada and Jeff Flake of Arizona, who are both in swing states, particularly Nevada, which is trending well to the left. I mean, pathetic, you know, Heller sort of tries to sell himself as a reasonable moderate, and all they're doing with this is hurting women. And as I said earlier, you know, Mike Pence, he won't sit alone in a room with a woman while he's cutting their health care.
Right.
He'll just sit alone in a room filled with old white guys while he's cutting their health care.
They they literally had to wheel Johnny Isaacson in from back surgery. He used a walker, apparently, to get in there to vote to defund women's health care. I mean, that is...
No, it's weird.
It's that type of commitment you like to see, right? I mean, that's
weird.
Nice.
It's weird because Johnny Isaacson, from what I hear, is still getting paid, even though he had to have let's call it health care emergency that he wasn't planning for and had to leave. But it's weird. He still gets his money, almost as if, like, some people get paid sick leave care even when they're not showing up for work due to an operation they weren't counting on. It's a very strange phenomenon.
Well, he's very, very fortunate guy that he works in generous employer.
I know I've
employer.
Heard him say how that businesses shouldn't be required to do that. So it's interesting. You know, I almost would think he wouldn't accept that kind of thing for himself, being the honorable man that he is.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's also talk about this. What's going on in the environment at this point? Because the deconstruction of the administrative state, as Steve Bannon talked about. I mean, this is where it hurts the most. And even though there's going to be a lot of court cases and the sort of unraveling of our climate change mitigation strategy, as anemic as it is, even though that's going to be hard to do, it's the big issue is it's sending a broader message to the rest of the world that we're no longer on board with these programs. So
that's,
you know,
the bigger.
You're a
sucker,
if you are.
Believe it or not, I think it's the sixth biggest economy in the world, California, who's moving forward on a lot of the things we're backing off on, can mitigate a lot when you think about the state being, you know, what, 1/7 or whatever it is of the population of the United States. You throw in New York, who I've heard now rumbling is going to move in a very positive direction on that, and that's not, those are just two states. There are others. That's not to say, look, the federal government's still a federal government, and it's going to hurt in serious ways. But at least we can mitigate somewhat the policy. But what you're saying is exactly right. It's the message. The message that's sent is loud and clear. And all it does is it encourages others to jump off the bandwagon or not jump on. And it's just such a crisis in leadership. It's pathetic. So, I mean, this was expected. What Scott Pruitt, it wasn't like there was a smokescreen, no pun intended,
right.
If you will. We knew who they were putting there. We've known for a long time what their policies are. And again, to Donald Trump, he couldn't care either way. If this is going to make the people who are supporting him happy, that's what he's for, you know? But it is watching them deconstruct it administratively, watching them bring Rick Scott plan to town, where the people are no longer allowed to even mention it.
Right.
Now we're talking about free speech too. It's not to be talked about. It's not to be. I mean, these guys are such hypocrites. Money is speech, but speech isn't speech, I guess.
I think we talked about a couple of weeks ago at the EPA that you were the Office of Science, or I should say the climate change mitigation. They had changed the whole standard upon which you judge laws at the Energy Department, and there's only one division apparently of the Energy Department, the Office of International Climate and Clean Energy, Department at the Department of Energy. Supervisor has told staff earlier this week not to use the phrases climate change, emissions reduction, or Paris Agreement in written memos, yep, briefings, or other written communication.
That's straight from the Rick Scott playbook in Florida, which he did. And I don't remember. Do you remember, Sam? I feel like it became a subject to a lawsuit down there, but I may be wrong about that, where he banned those terms from being used, which is ironic because, not to make you and I any older than we are, Sam, we wouldn't want to do that. But there is going to be a day you and I are going to be sitting there on, you know, rocking chairs on a porch. Maybe at your place in upstate New York. Do you still have that place?
Yep.
Sweet. I'm going to be there with you. You know, we're going to be very gray, probably in our 70s, grandkids bouncing around. And half of what used to be the state of Florida is going to be underwater at that time.
That's right. It's depressing. I mean, you know, you can in some of the other areas you can reverse this stuff. This not so much.
Again, the big irony of the fact that it's Rick Scott led the way on this, and then that Marco Rubio, who is actually from the part of Florida where the water is now where the running into the streets when there's high tide sometimes. I mean, where it's going blocks up from the beach. Like, you know, the evidence is right there in front of their faces.
Yep.
I mean, you know, talk about your place in history. I'm interested to see what Marco Rubio's is when his hometown disappears because of his lack of action. It's pathetic.
Officials at the State Department and other DOE offices said they had not been given a banned words list. I mean, these, of course, are departments that don't work directly with climate change. But they had started avoiding climate-related terms in their memos and briefings because they got the message.
That's the other thing, too, by the way, which I guess I know we have to go, so I maybe we'll end on that point, which is again, people know this who work at jobs anywhere. Culture comes from the top down, and you know your boss sort of sets expectations, and they don't have to always overtly tell you what to do. You just kind of know from the way they behave. So even in places where these words haven't been banned in parts of our government, the culture is very clear that this is not to be talked about. It's not to be discussed rationally. It doesn't exist. And that is incredibly harmful.
Yep. I don't know. Maybe President Mike Pence will be better on this stuff.
Maybe President anybody who's not one of these criminals.
I'm joking.
In 2020.
Of course it's not the case.
No, I know you're joking. I'm just saying the one thing I am enjoying is as Trump hit 35% approval, and you see, like, not people like you and me, your Larry Sabatos and others who, you know, who are the quote-unquote objective folks saying that if the election were held now, there's a good chance the Democrats would take back the House. That's the only thing I, you know, try to hold out hope for.
Although it does make
me think that Trump will try to gin up some sort of, who knows what, war of some sort or whatever when his numbers are I think he's heading for the Bush 26, as I like to call it. It's that 26% of our population that you could tell anything and they'd believe.
That's right. All right. Well, maybe next week we'll talk about John Ossoff. Who's running in Georgia, and James Thompson, who's running in Kansas. There's a race there. And Rob Quist, who's running in Montana. I think
I've been hearing great things about that one in Montana, that he's raised like $750,000 already. And people are very – I don't know that as much about the one in Kansas. I'm not taking anything away from it. That may be a great one too. But obviously everybody's heard a lot about Ossoff, and I'm starting to hear a lot about Quist also.
Yeah, so. And these will be important races. We can talk about them next week because they're about 3 weeks off, I think, from actually happening. So that's going to be – not just an indicator, but it's going to be one of those indicators that is going to end up being sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, I think, in terms of what the Republicans are able to do legislatively. But Cliffy,
I think that can send a lot of messages to a lot of
yep.
of swing districts. In any case, yes, I know. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Always a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Yep. Bye.
All right, folks.
Dad.
Poor Flynn.
You don't have information?
Let me just say that I think it's quite clear that Passover at the Flynn household is going to be a little awkward.
Dad, pass the challah. What the hell? It's totally unfair.
Pass the challah on Passover?
Oh, you're right.
Hmm.
Well, dude, it's the Flynn family.
Right.
They wouldn't know.
Yes. It's weird. They all converted to Judaism without knowing.
We converted anything. To the Jew religion to keep Dad out of prison. And it's not even working. What the hell? It's totally unfair. Date rape is still illegal 65 days into the Trump presidency. Talk about hashtag sellout. Dad.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, many of you who are a long, long time listeners, I'm talking like going way back. And I think what we'll do, we've got... some days off following Passover in like a week or two. And I think for those days, what we'll do for members is include, I think I have them organized in one place, at least like a half dozen of the calls David Waterman used to make into the Majority Report, fake calls that Janine and I would interview him. And so people may remember this guy from that. And I think he's called into this program over the years. But David Waterman, my old buddy from Boston and L.A., is doing a podcast, which I will let him and Maggie Mayfield tell us about. But we're going to take a quick break, and hopefully they'll give us a movie suggestion as well. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. I'll give you power over me. Now I gotta be free. I give you power, but now I'm sick. I give you power. I can take it away. I can take it away. I give you power over me. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. It is a real pleasure to welcome Maggie Mayfield. She is the host of Y-Tune Shuffle and also David Waterman. Is that how I pronounce it, David?
Well, usually there's an Earl because I'm a three-name person.
David Earl Waterman. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, now of course, Maggie, I've never met you. David, I've met you many, many times for prolonged periods of time. Have I met you ongoingly? Have I known you? You've of course have called into the show many times, incognito. Maggie has not. So, Maggie, tell us how it is that you started doing a podcast with David Waterman. Why?
About a year ago, I moved to Los Angeles because I thought I was going to make it as an actor. And I decided to do this improv audition, and I met David on stage as my audition partner. And he was crazy and silly, and he like ran off stage. And then as we got to talking and knowing each other, he was like, I got this crazy idea for a show. And I said, do you know that I have like years of experience doing radio? And he was like, stop it. So I said, if you trust me, I think we can make this something amazing. And I think we've done it.
You do. I listened to a couple episodes, and I got to say, I really enjoyed it. I did not realize, though, David, that Chuck Sklar was on this week.
Yeah, a mutual friend of ours, original Conan writer, collaborator with Chris Rock, Louis C.K. We're starting to get guests, you know, that have got some pretty impressive resumes.
Chuck's not good. Chuck's resume is not impressive. He won't talk
Chuck
to me anymore. Chuck won't talk to me anymore. He will
You're
not
kidding
talk.
Me.
No. He hasn't talked to me in 12 years.
Chuck and I are playing a lot of poker these days together, and it's weird. I don't talk to a lot of the old crew that
no,
we
no,
started
he
out
specifically
with.
Won't talk to me. Let me tell you why. All right, and we had, okay. Back when he was working on the Kamal Bell show, I ran into Hari Kondabolu, and I didn't realize that Chuck, so we had Hari on the show, and he told me that Chuck was the head writer. And you know, Chuck won't talk to me since I didn't invite him to my wedding 12 years ago.
Why didn't you invite him?
Well, just because, like, I mean, you must have picked this up, Maggie, on the podcast, right? That like Chuck is just—he's just interested in himself, and I was just like, I'm not gonna have him at my wedding.
This is
like, I don't need anyone. I don't need your gift, Chuck.
Did this come up in the podcast on Y-Tune Shuffle?
No. Your name did not come up, interestingly enough, but you may be interested in knowing that for the first time in the 26 years I've known Chuck, we've known Chuck.
Yeah.
He shed a tear on Y-Tune Shuffle. Our show, our podcast, is a diversion from the sort of, you know, high-intensity, politically charged shows and standard interviews. We get to the nitty-gritty, and Chuck teared up. So
why did he tear up? Was he it wasn't because he wasn't invited to my wedding? What could make him what could make him that sad?
Well, Maggie, explain what happens during a musical interlude with one of our guests and why they tear up. And I do too.
Well, Maggie, wait a second. Why don't you also tell what the show is about too? What you guys do? It's a good idea. I mean, it's actually like. I was surprised at how engaged I was by it. I mean, no offense, but I mean, I don't mean
no,
that in that
great.
Way. I mean, I really did find that.
Do you get invited to a lot of weddings?
No, I don't get invited to any weddings. The only wedding I went to was mine. But Maggie, wait, tell us about the show.
So White Tune Shuffle is a show where we invite comedians, up-and-coming producers, writers, creative people, and we go through the music on their playlist that kind of informs their life. So music is this common thread that really brings us back to lots of memories. It makes us think about our family life, our parents, our first kiss, our first job, the first time we got in trouble, the first time, you know, you did something you shouldn't have done. And I think we can all connect to that. So even though I might not be an AC/DC fan, that might bring you back to, you know, a first concert that you went to, and we can all share those stories, even though the music might not be the same. And it's a cool way to explore new stuff. I've learned so many new songs and new artists just by doing the few episodes that we've done so far.
Is it awkward when Waterman, his favorite playlist is all big bands from the 30s that he listened to as a young child?
No, you know what, though? We do this segment called Guilty Pleasure, and I'll admit, like, I guiltily like Justin Bieber. And then he came back out with me, he's like, I like gospel music. Like, what?
Like, wait, golf?
Call me out, David.
Gospel music.
It's gospel. Southern Baptist, like gospel lunch at the House of Blues. I like straight Christian, right out of the pulpit, you know, who in the pew type stuff. You know, the old rugged cross, and they will know we are Christians by our love. I don't know why, but, you know, maybe it's because I have rabbit ears on my television and I don't actually pay for cable. I have 27 purely Christian channels, and they're either playing those songs or telling me how awful a person I am on a daily basis. So,
no, but you never went to church growing up, did you, Errol?
No. I grew up in what they used to call a reform school, and I was on high intensity lockdown for most of my youth, and so my musical experience. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, you should
have been. But you know, why Tune Shuffle? Just think about the times when, you know, I think when you were living with Benjamin back in Cambridge, and was it Porter Square or
we were in
when we just
Union Square. That was actually technically Somerville.
Well, okay, yeah, and it's Why Tune Shuffle is really captures that moment in time that we've all experienced. We're hanging out with friends, just cranking tunes. And the connections that people make musically, like big band does come up. I had, it's amazing. We had a guest that came on, Mark Rosella, producer, director, guy I'm making some films with out here in LA, and Maggie as well. We're working with him. He brought in a set list of songs that he liked that were all contemporary, popular, recognizable titles, but they were all covers. You know, it was a really interesting, you know, interview and sort of song list. But what really happens is not just the, oh, cool, great song. That's really interesting. Where's the first time you heard it? How old were you? Where were you living? You know, who was your best buddy? Where'd you go to school? Okay. What did you do in school? All of that stuff. There are connections that constantly get formed that not only excite Maggie and I, but, you know, our listeners can relate to people on a level that's sort of an even playing field. And most people that listen to interview shows with successful artistic people don't make films. You know, they're not actors. They don't know what being on a sitcom is like. But with music, everybody can relate. That's like the magic of White Tunes Shuffle. Yeah.
So, Earl, what songs do you remember from when we lived in? Because I should also say that you and I lived not, we weren't roommates, but we lived in the same shared bathroom down the hall house.
We've lived in the same rooming house.
That house?
Sam Cedar had a loft bed in his apartment in Cambridge. He didn't have a remote for his TV, so he fashioned this stick and put like masking tape on the end and formed it into like a claw. So from his loft bed, he could reach down with a stick and turn the channels on the old-fashioned television so he wouldn't have to get out of bed. We were so poor and so destitute.
Let me tell Maggie this. Let me embarrass David a little bit. Now Earl
please,
doesn't
please,
you don't drink anymore.
No,
you don't drink anymore, but I do remember distinctly.
20 years this year, baby. 20 years.
Wow, now. Really? Holy cow.
Yeah.
I still remember
but
this
I
moment
do smoke
like
a
was,
lot of weed.
Yeah.
I smoke weed like
So Waterman used to he worked at a facility about 10 miles out from where we lived, maybe 6 miles out. We were in Cambridge at that point. It worked in one, I think it was in Watertown, or I can't remember where it was. And David used to jog to work every night, and he would work the overnight. And one night he comes in, either it was the next morning when you had jogged back or when you were going, and you came and he goes, "Cedar, I figured out how to get rid of my shin splints. I drink a half a bottle of wine before I run."
I would drink a bottle of wine, and I would be pain-free from the jog to...
imagine drinking a bottle of wine and then jogging 7 miles?
You know those things that were, like, trendy with bikers, yeah. Those, like, camel packs? I'm just picturing this dude with, like, a wine in it. He's just sucking it.
Well, there's a section in the Boston Marathon where you don't go to, like, a water station. They got, like, beer stations. They got coffee stations, hot chocolate. It's not completely unheard of. Yeah, yeah.
No, it's completely unheard of.
I was going to say, there's an entire running group now where you drink beer and then run on the side. They're beer drinkers with a bad running habit.
That is
I want to say, like, they're called the Hashers. Yeah.
Is that true? That's not true.
Well, Sam, to your question about what song would appear, like the first song that comes to mind when I think about, you know, at least in my experience when we were together, I don't remember the artist's name off the top of my head, but it's a song that I would hear so often, and it's, you know, we're never going to survive unless we get a little crazy. And we were so crazy in those days. I mean,
I never heard that song. No, I've never heard that song. What are you talking about? Matt's going to look it up. I've never. Now is the time. That doesn't sound like a song at all.
What was the song? Crazy, by the way.
Who is
Seal? That's right, Maggie. It's Seal. Well done. Now, remember Chris Shino would open up our cross comedy shows? You do remember that, you know, the barking sound effect before the song. I can't remember the name of the artist.
Hold on. Seal? When would we listen to Seal? What? No, this is not the kind of music I would listen to.
This is me, Sam. This is about me and what I was feeling at those days.
What is it? If I wanted to interview Chuck Sklar, I would have.
It's a great song.
I could see you in stretch pants.
Wait, when was this song? When did
this
song?
All right,
hold on for 1 second. When did this? This is just what you would. Is this what you were listening to as you were jogging to Watertown? When was this song from? All right, okay, we got enough of this. When was this song from?
Like, I would say 92, something like that.
Yeah, it was like early 90s. I remember it was big on the radio. I was in love with that song.
No, I wouldn't.
Who did the song Got Caught Stealing? Was that Jane's Addiction?
Yeah. I guess that, yeah, remember I remember. Sam? Right, yes. Shino would play that. He would DJ a lot, right?
Remember, just before we go on stage with Cross Comedy, you know, working with comedians like Dave Cross, John Groff, Louis C.K., Ron Lynch,
all
we were
people.
Amongst like the creme de la creme of today's like kings of comedy, and Got Caught Stealing would
Maggie,
be the song
is,
that we'd like, here we go, the show's starting. That's a Y-Toon Shuffle memory.
Does David always bring that up? Does he always like say that we were all in that group? Does he say that all the time?
Yeah, he name drops a lot.
Shamelessly.
Oh my God. Yeah. And do you tell him, like, you got to back off that? I've heard this story 100 times. Like, is he telling the same stories over and over again?
No, not the same. But it's the same. It's the same names. He's like, oh well, when I was in Boston, you know, and John H. Benjamin and David Cross, you know, we were all roommates.
I got nothing else to talk about in my life worth a damn. So
well, that's
I have
not.
To
that's
recycle
not.
These stories.
Now, did he doesn't tell
Maggie Mayfield. Maggie Mayfield is amazing, Maggie Mayfield, and she gets me, Sam, in the same way that you get me. Not a lot of people get me, which is what my current agent says. It's like, I know a lot. My agent, the first thing she said to me is, I bet a lot of people don't get you. Like, Sam Cedar is one, and Maggie Mayfield is one. Maggie, please tell Sam the little thing you say about me, which just, I'm just so it makes me so happy.
I didn't realize that he would be repeating all his names, but he'll come in with some of these guests sometimes. I'm like, you are Hollywood's secret weapon. Like, people don't even know what you
How
know.
How about that? Hollywood's secret weapon.
Oh, are you?
That,
Is that what you call him? Hollywood
Sam
secret
just threw
weapon?
Up in his mouth a little bit.
I did. It made me a little bit nauseous. I should say that anybody who's seen Pilot Season or Who's the Caboose or gotten the extras on, and they wouldn't recognize your face, I think, in bad situations because I think I had you in a mask.
Like Louis C.K. had me in a mask in Caesar Salad. His first.
Yes, that's like right. Story of my life. Like Louis C.K. That's the third time you brought up his name in the.
Who, Louis C.K.? That's the third time I brought up Louis C.K.'s name, but I know Louis C.K. personally.
Now
and we were both pursuing Lord
you know what's
at the
amazing?
Same time in Cambridge.
So we have known right. each other, and Maggie, you and I have known each other for about 15 minutes on the phone. And Waterman and I have known each other now for, is it really 26 years? No. Yes.
Well, it was 1990.
Somewhere around there. I remember when I rented some house with Amy Silver, who is now functionally equivalent to John Benjamin's wife. And it was like somebody from the Mamas and Papas. Their house, and we were living in the basement, and there was only a certain area, or he was married to one of the Mamas and Papas or something like that. And we were living in the basement, and half of it was taped off. We weren't allowed to go across the tape.
Hollywood?
Yes.
West Hollywood, right?
Yes, and you were doing Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, or...
An ABC, Capital Cities, Brillstein Gray production. Go ahead.
and I remember sitting in there going like, man, I can't believe it was so long ago that we were in Boston together. And now look at us. And that was not much longer than, we're three times that out from now. And I guess my question to you is like... God, you're old, David.
52 years of age. Yeah, 52. Yeah. I'm old.
Well, you certainly don't act like it, that's for sure.
That's true. You really got to grow up a little bit.
You didn't sound very complimentary.
It is to have met Maggie. I mean, I can't tell you that Maggie is in the stand-up world right now. She's where we were 20 years ago, and it's amazing to watch her, you know, do a show. Right now, Maggie's got the Challenge Mic, an open mic show that she's doing, Y-Tune Shuffle. Maggie is the producer of the midday show at Coast FM. I mean, big deal stuff.
What is that like?
That's what's really motivated me is to meet someone with the energy that we had 20 years. I couldn't do it without Maggie.
Now, Maggie, you're doing, you're traveling, doing stand-up across the country. Is that right? I mean, are you doing road gigs or no?
I don't travel quite as much because I do have a full-time job here in LA, but that's the plan.
That's the plan is to get out. And how long have you been doing it? Where did you come from originally?
Born and raised in New Jersey, but I spent the last 7 years in Illinois and, just south of Chicago doing, fulfilling the radio dream. And I was like, no one can see me back here. So I was like, I'm going to do stand up. That's pretty much what happened. I got divorced and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go talk about this on a forum where I can say the F word a few more times.
You got divorced? I mean, so how long were you married for? You sound like you're young.
13 months.
Oh, 13 months?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get married in Vegas?
No, we were together for like 6 years in total, but we got married and then I was like, no, just kidding. Those pants don't fit. I don't want to wear those anymore. So... That, yeah.
You got divorced because you grew out of your pants?
Pretty much.
I'm sorry to hear.
No, he's great. But he wanted the white picket fence, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah, that's why David's still single, I think.
Basically, we got a dog, and he was like, I really want to get a dog. I'm like, cool, we'll do that. He's like, I promise, I'll help walk and take care of it, and then never did any of that. And then he was like, now that we're married, let's have a baby. I'm like, you didn't even want to take care of a dog.
I love, though, how that story pivoted really hard. You went from he wanted the white picket fence to basically like, yeah, he's kind of a shiftless loser who couldn't even take care of a dog.
No,
I mean, I like those tracks there.
That happened to me as well. That happened to me as well, only I didn't get married. I just had someone move in and then realized that he could not even take care of himself.
And actually, that reminds me that Waterman, didn't you break up with somebody because you wouldn't take care of the dog?
Karma.
That's a fact. Yes, that's a fact. The dog was dying. It needed to be carried down two flights of stairs. It smelled. And this person, you know, really didn't have anything that I could, you know, benefit from. It was like all me and not. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
How,
I never broke
how
up
How heavy was the dog?
David's lying. He's lying about
I don't
it.
Think, is he lying? Still, oh, I don't think he's telling
Maggie,
the truth.
You realize, right, that David is a pathological liar, right? I mean, that... Has that?
Oh, wait, can I just? I like back to the first guy, the first husband. I like that image. Like, oh yeah, I wanted the white picket fence. I'm not going to clean it. Fuck that. That sounds awesome. For the kid, you want me to raise it? What?
For the first 5 years that I knew David Waterman, he had maintained, and there was no reason not to believe him, that he had fought in the Falklands War.
That's right. What?
Or no, wait, was it down
Grenada.
In Grenada?
Grenada.
Yeah, he had told us he had fought in Grenada. No reason. It wasn't like, you know, with a bunch of comedians, we were all just like, man, I wish there was someone we were hanging with who had fought in Grenada. And Waterman would just maintain that he had.
Well, maybe you can clear this up for me, Sam.
What's that?
He told me the story that there was a game they used to play.
Like,
maybe it was with Cross Comedy where it was called Stop David. Where he would just talk, and then if you were like, no, this is complete a BS story, then you would be like, stop, David, and then you'd have to come forth.
Yes. At one point, we realized, like, nothing he's saying is true for, like, the first two or three years. And it was just the Grenada thing was, like, the last thing I think that fell. Like, you know, because after a while, I started realizing, he's just making it up. He's completely making it.
Yeah, I really felt like one of those guys you see on the news that has all the ribbons and the medals, and they kind of bust him, you know, and he's kind of in his uniform. It didn't end well, you know, and the whole time I just kind of went with it. My therapist has helped me figure out exactly why I have a propensity to do that. It's amazing. It's called chronic alcoholism and drug abuse. So one of the factors that goes into that particular lifestyle, it's like I don't even know where I am. I'll just start talking. But no, it's not a particularly proud chapter of my life, and I won't deny it. But I have a tendency to just spin yarns, tall tales, and just bold-faced lie about stuff. I don't know why. It's gotten better.
I find it very charming. I mean, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you.
Wait, so you helped liberate Grenada from socialism?
Well, I was activated with the 82nd Airborne.
Right.
I going to a community college in upstate New York, Tompkins Cortland Community College.
Right.
Got my paperwork.
Right.
I was on a C-130 out of Syracuse, New York that night. Didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. Got into my BDUs and my web gear. Got a helmet on the plane. I parachuted out. I was the first guy out. First guy to hit terra firma. Looked to my left, looked to my right. Started blasting my M60.
Did you know what the New Jewel movement was before you even went there, or you just parachuted right in?
I was trained to kill.
Right.
I was trained to kill. And that's where my focus is and was during the entire time. It was like, you get in front of my M60, you get into my line of fire, and you're going down, asswipe.
Do you still... I mean, are you seeing anybody at the VA or anything? Like, do you have to work out those experiences?
I actually am a volunteer at the VA, and I'm helping out, you know, people now. I can't go on. I can't.
That was so good. That's the most charming pathological lie I've ever heard.
There was, and
I'm good, aren't I? I switch into gear. I believe it myself. There's some. Wait, did I really?
I don't want to flatter you too much, David, and so I'm only going to just do it for this one moment. But that is one of the things I think that has always made you, in my mind, a comic genius, is that you can just go with something. And I just remember one time there was some bit that we had written in the comedy lab. I wrote it for you. You took it and you did stuff with it that I just couldn't even wrap my head around. It was hilarious. And you told me afterwards that you had no idea what you were saying, like literally did not understand the words that you were saying, but had added to it. And I think that's, I think that's as far as I'm going to compliment you. I don't want to.
Well, No, please, Sam. I mean, I love you, buddy. You are one of the people that has definitely gotten where I'm coming from. And Maggie's the most recent, but I got to say, this Y-Tune Shuffle, it's legit, man. I mean, I'm not on there to, you know, it's a different experience for me. I'm listening. You know, we're listening to the guests and the music, and I'll tell you, it's
I feel like Maggie really is, in the shows I heard, I feel like Maggie really does listen.
Yeah. You don't think that David listens?
I do.
Maggie's are you there, David, or do you do your lines before. After?
Yeah.
Are you there with the guest?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. What?
Is David there with the guest, or does he just do his lines afterwards?
No, he's there. We're all there.
We have photos on Instagram to prove it. Hey, listen, anybody in that room with you right now, Sam, you yourself or anybody have an iPhone that has a musical library on it? Is there anybody there that has that can just kind of hit shuffle and see what's
responsible? Yeah, we all do.
I don't.
Do it. So somebody do it, and let's see what story goes with that song. Don't pick a song. Just let the shuffle randomly.
Oh, is that the way you do it? Or do people?
No,
that's the
name
of
our
the show, weirdo.
That's a side thing. He does it. They people choose the song. People choose the songs. Yeah, why the misleading name, Shuffle, if it's not really a shuffle?
Well, we're surprised. Maggie and I are surprised, and the audience is surprised. So, you know, it's like we don't know what the story behind the song is going to be. It's not just the musical selection shuffling. It's like, what's the story behind this?
Yeah, but this is like, I remember, I never even listened to the show growing up, but it was so devastating to hear that the Car Talk guys, they didn't spontaneously answer those questions. They had those questions in advance. It's the same thing. I just got disillusioned about your show in a 15-minute interview.
Yeah, sorry, Maggie and David, or should we say click and clack? All right, hold on for a second.
Talked about that.
Kelly has a song.
Okay, right. Hit it.
Hit it. It's not. Oh wait, do you want me to
play it into your mic?
I don't think
play
so.
It.
What do you mean? Why did you pick out a song if you're not going to play it?
Pick it. It came up in the shuffle.
Well, play it
in the mic.
Let's hear it.
Here.
Play it into the mic. It's a baby crying?
Music?
It's Nirvana.
Yeah.
Rape me.
And this song just came up randomly.
That's the song that came up randomly.
So tell us what the name of that song is, Kelly.
The name of the song is Rape Me. But
what does that remind you of?
It's a great song.
It reminds me of everything.
It
reminds me of the first time that I really
This is Y-Tune Shuffle Gold. Talk about that song, Kelly.
This is it's the first song time that I really thought about my first experience with censorship that I really had to turn over and over and over, because when this came out, what was it? Was it Walmart? Yeah. Wouldn't sell it. The album.
Right? I had that problem with the D12 CD.
Wouldn't sell the album, and I was really upset over that.
Were you living, Kelly, at the time, and how old were you?
I was living in Pittsburgh, and I was probably this album 15.
Oh,
or
my God.
No, 13.
How did you wind up getting it?
At the mall?
Was it like a friend? Did a friend have it?
Well, no. You could get it at the mall. It was just Walmart censored it. Okay. And I was like a big, there was no, internets. There wasn't an internet back then, but the internet wasn't a big thing. And so I read every magazine known to man, and I was really big into music magazines and Nirvana.
So at 15, were you beginning to start to feel your political awareness? Like, what were you involved in school, and what were your friends' sort of topics of discussion?
Like forensic investigators.
Was that your first political awakening?
All right, one more question.
What was I involved in school?
Like the Inquisition.
Having panic attacks over my grades so that I got straight A's, even though I was just getting high and
what about
up
the
all
ISIS
time.
Islam?
That's so it. That's just a little example of the life.
Super angsty.
Do you want to go? Do you want to go around the rest of the circle here?
No, I
would certainly like to hear whatever comes out of Sam's phone.
Here's mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, stop! It's not even. And actually, Sam, can you explain what this song does for you? I think it actually does really
tie yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. I remember when Don and this is actually
Tony Orlando and Don.
This is this is the one that I like to listen to quite a bit. On is this on my playlist?
God Save the Queen.
No, it's not God Save the Queen. It's Uber Alles. Come on, David.
Oh, sorry.
All right, guys. So why tune shuffle? I imagine we can find that on iTunes. Have they attempted to sue you yet?
No.
Do you anticipate being sued?
It's on iTunes, you can get it on the iHeartRadio app as well.
On the iHeartRadio app. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Maggie, I got to tell you, I don't know how you do it day in, day out.
you know, can I just say, I mean, it's ironic because my dad actually was in Grenada.
Shut up.
It's a lie.
A liar.
I'm trying to match Waterman.
See, my stomach is full of butterflies now. Like
he's been transported back.
I can never let it die.
Well, Maggie, I have to say that just from your picture, you have a great comic smile. She has this humongous she does. She has a huge smile and she has a really shiny side part, beautiful hair.
Oh. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she's gonna make it all the way.
Tell me more about my eyes. Thank you.
Where's your ex-husband now? He sounds like an interesting guy.
Email Maggie for a day.
Maggie, where's your ex-husband? He sounds like a fun guy to talk to.
Next week we're gonna have Maggie.
I'm going to book Maggie's ex-husband for the next time I host. Where is he? I mean, I at least like to hang out with him. It sounds like we have a very similar mentality about relationships. I
wonder what his what songs are in his iPod or whatever it is. Be interesting. guys, we will put a link to your podcast. We always like to promote shows that are, you know, actually like, don't, you know, it's not a political show, so it doesn't compete. It's like more, it's got some real.
Hey, honey, I have an awesome idea. How about we create a fucking kid and I'm going to kick back and have a couple of beers and you'll take care of it.
You wash the fence.
How about you wash the fence? I'll pick that little fucker up, throw him a couple times up in the air, then back to mom. That was the best transition.
Thank you for having us on Majority Report.
David doesn't want to talk.
David doesn't like the banter about the ex-husband. I'm sorry, David.
It's a little sensitive for David.
I apologize.
I don't know what's going on with that.
Anything you'd like to tell us?
David Waterman, Maggie Mayfield, thank you so much for coming on, guys. We will link to YTunes Shuffle at majority.fm. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye.
Are they off?
Yeah.
So basically, they just ripped off Desert Island Discs for the internet.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What's Desert Island Discs?
No, it's a different show, but it's an old BBC show where they have people come on and pick literally, like, if you're on a desert island, what records do you take with you? It's a little different.
It's a little bit like that. I mean, when I listened to it, I was like, this is a very, why hasn't somebody done this already? And I imagine maybe somebody has. I don't know. But it's actually,
I think it's smart because music, it really ties to memories. Like, there are songs that I listened to when I was in London.
Didn't we have this exchange, like, possibly, the other day? You and I started playing that Everclear song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I got it in my head because when I was in L.A. back out in the 90s, around the time that Waterman was out there to do Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, which was a British show, which we based the Don't Forget Your Mother-in-Law on from Pilot Season, on the radio, they played that Santa Monica Everclear song over and over again. There were no iPods, or I didn't have one, and I kept hearing that song, and it's like somewhere in my amygdala or somewhere around there, it's been like etched in, and I had to hear it the other day.
It like ties to all your memories from a certain time period.
Yes, it's very weird. It's very, and it's interesting to think about it.
My memory was a little bit screwed up on that now that I've looked up when Seal? that when that album, no, the song that I played when that album actually came out.
One or two?
93.
93, that was Teen Spirit.
No.
It wasn't on Teen Spirit. It was the one after.
Nevermind became before In Utero. But I was a lot younger, which is a theme in my life, is that I think I'm older than I am. When I'm 5, I think that I'm 15. When I'm 10, then I'm...
Were you aware...
Better get on it, Grandma.
Actually, can I just ask you...
Yeah, right now I'm 70.
Hold up real quick. Were you aware of the invasion of Grenada? Like, how old were you when that happened?
I was...
I mean, I have no idea. Were you in high school?
No, I was in college.
You're in college. Or, I mean, was that something that you guys went out? I mean, because that, just on its face, is one of the most ludicrous things we've ever done.
It was incredible, but it was so quick.
Okay.
That it wasn't like... It was like you woke up in the morning, like, we invaded Grenada. We invaded what?
You know, it's like literally where? Like the... I mean, you know what Grenada is. It's this...
All I knew is they're trying to basically do med school students
minimal land reform. And that was the cover story to save
medical. Yeah, it was supposed to be like there's a medical school there, and we got to save these Americans. But it was like literally you wake up in the morning. I think, I mean, when was that? It must have been like somewhere in like 80, what was it, 80? I don't know.
I want to say 83.
Maybe I was in high school if it was 80.
Yeah, the invasion of Grenada was in 1983.
Okay, so I was in high school. And I think it's like you wake up in the morning, we've invaded Grenada. What? Why? Because of the medical students. And
that's
then
just unbelievable. Because
by the end of the afternoon, it's over because it's Grenada.
That's incredible. No, because I think of so many atrocious things that we've done overseas, and I can understand just like even as soon as you get into Iraq, it's like, well, that's complicated. It's the Middle East. It's terrorism. All this stuff. But like on its face, like wait. We just sent bombers into like a neighbor of Aruba to rescue medical. Like, how did that fly? It's unbelievable.
So quick that, and it was just like, oh, okay. I mean, it was just as if like you woke up in the morning, like they just brought the 82nd Airborne to arrest some pot dealers.
Right.
You know, like the home invasion of like, and I don't know. It was just one of those. I don't know, weird things. I mean, I guess I was in high school, so I probably didn't pay too much attention to it, but I do remember going like, that, why are we doing that? And the thing is that I think like one person died, two people died or something.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Unbelievable.
And that's just a weird invasion. All right, we have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Is that correct? Am I correct in making... Folks, do check out that podcast. It is. I'm gonna listen to the Chuck Sklar one now. I mean, people have listened to when Hari was on the show, and that was probably years ago. Now.
Chuck Sklar does not like you.
Chuck Sklar will not talk to me.
Not
anymore.
Like you.
I
always like how you always frame it in this very like, you know, I don't really get what the problem is. I didn't invite him to my wedding because he's a narcissistic bore.
No,
that upset him?
Listen, at the time, I didn't invite him to the wedding because I hadn't talked to him in a year. And he was in L.A. And I thought, like, I don't want to put him in that position where he's going to fly to New York. And, you know, I hadn't talked to him a year. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. And then he was really mad. And I'm like, I'm sorry. But it's not like you missed that much.
Was he part of like a crew that you invited the rest of the crew?
No, not particularly. I mean, he wasn't, you know, Chuck's not a crew guy. And I was not a crew guy. I mean, Waterman was there. There was a couple of people there. But
I don't have a crew. What do I know?
In regular contact with. And it had been a year.
How come we weren't invited to your wedding?
It had been a year. I mean, it had been a year since I had talked to him.
The older you get, though, sometimes you don't talk to someone for a year, and then you kind of get right back on the same page. People come in and out. Like,
well, I understand, but you know I got married 12, almost 13 years
ago. I mean, look, Sklar got schlonged.
He did. He schlonged him. He did. I mean, I felt bad.
It's
true. And I apologized.
And you know what? I mean, he got schlonged.
And I apologized.
So
now you're
it.
Saying that he didn't miss anything great, but... I think that
well, I'm just saying
we
that
both
to make
know.
Him feel better.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Great. It was pretty great.
Yola Tango
yes.
was there.
Yep.
Which I've heard that about 15 times.
There you go. Well, it's because you keep saying it.
Yola Tango was there at my wedding, and all the people, but Chuck Sklar wasn't there. And it was
and
so much fun.
I apologized to him, and he still won't talk.
And then
to
I went to the Caribbean,
you know,
and I got hives.
This. It was also this, that when I would go to L.A., I would call to try and meet with him. But when he came to New York, he never called me. So I just assumed, like, okay, whatever. We can be, the don't come to my wedding, but I can still be friends with you type of friends.
And that's not your friend, anyway. Sam. Anyway. That's not your friend.
No. All right. What is Jimmy Reefer Cake song?
It is called Same Old Crap, Blame It on Trump.
Same Old Crap, Blame It on Trump. Here we go.
It's the same old crap in the news. Yeah, notice a common theme. The poor folks always lose. I know you want to blame it all on Trumpster. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that he's the only monster. Hillary should listen to what I said we need. Fuck all those politicians who won't legalize the weed.
Legalize.
Yeah, legalize the weed. Like Obama could have already done through a simple executive order. Take it off the schedule. God bless you, Obama, you handsome hypocrite. Let's rewrite history so Trump gets blame for all of it. Yeah. Blame it on Trump.
Drone strikes.
You gotta blame it on Trump.
Runaway CIA.
Blame it on Trump.
Marijuana on the schedule.
Will Trump raid medicinal providers the way Barack has already done? Will Sessions throw them all in jail? Every single one.
It's the same old
Can't
crap.
Can't you see it's the same old yeah. crap? And they go on and blame it on Trump, but they could have avoided this whole mess by electing good folks like Bernie, who support legalization on like that lying hypocrite. But you go on and blame it on the Russians and the racists and Green Party and Jimmy Dores and the Libertarians and the Bernie Bros. And of course me, the Jimmy Reefer Cakes.
Okay, here we go. Jimmy Reefer Cake. Same old thing. Now, the irony, of course, is Jimmy is playing, he turns on the news, same old stuff. Poor people getting screwed. I want to blame it on Trump. And the answer, like in the vast majority of Jimmy Reefer Cake songs, is in legalizing weed. We had only legalized weed. It does seem that blaming it on Trump is probably preventing Jeff Sessions from having the political capital, frankly, to expend on essentially recriminalizing, for all intents and purposes, marijuana use in places like Massachusetts and Colorado and Washington.
May I point to an irony, if I may? I know that you people of the old book and the blood of Christ on your hands appreciate irony and your humor. So perhaps I could elucidate something.
Please
if
do.
If you permit.
Yes, I'm going to just sit back and have a mint julep while you do so.
Oh, just like my old friend Lindsey Graham. Not surprising. Anyways, that being said, I am an opponent of legalizing the criminal Negro devil stick known as marijuana or the jazz man's medicine for a variety of reasons. It undercut morale in a certain secret society of which I'm partial to. And it makes white girls more likely to listen to the Negro's music and desire the swaying of his hips. But I will say, In the case of Mr. Reefer Cake, he is ironically demonstrating the fact that perhaps this devilish substance erodes your brain and cognitive capacity to such a degree that he cannot see the fact that because my orange face rapist boss hands are tied. That has somewhat inhibited my ability to put him and his dispensary friends in a prison that I would so dearly love to lay them. Irony abounds, does it not, Jew boy?
Yes, indeed. And on that, ladies and gentlemen, I guess we're going to probably hear this in a song next week. Tulsi Gabbard has introduced H.R. 1227 to remove marijuana from the federal list of controlled substances. RT, if you support this, ending this bad policy, good for her. I imagine she's going to get a lot of RTs on that one.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard is, Trump's the Twitter president. Tulsi's the sort of YouTube president almost. YouTube politician. I mean, she knows her bank.
Folks, don't forget MR Spring 17, 30% off your coffee starting tomorrow. Really, it's in April, so we're a little premature. But
we need
to
confirm that MR Spring 17 thing too, because we have some people in the chat room saying it wasn't working.
Yes, because it starts tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Starts April 1st. Sorry about that. Make sure you write that in the podcast description.
Sorry, I missed that. Right, what?
It's April 1st. Starting April 1st, for the month of April, MR Spring 17, you get 30% off your car. I wanted people listen to the show on Saturday, and it'll be April then it'll work. And you go in, you get 30% off your coffee. If you like quality coffee, now's the time to try it out. You can try out a bunch of different, they got a bunch of different roasts, they got a bunch of different locations, they got Arabica. And what's the other one? There's two types of different coffee, right?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe you better get
Matt, do you know? Do you know the types of coffee?
There's two different types. I can't remember what it is. Wait, maybe I think it's sativa.
Yeah, no, you're thinking of weed.
I don't think that's coffee.
Oh, that is so ironic.
But there are two types of coffee. There are two types of coffee. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Go there, click on the Amazon link, bookmark it, buy all your Amazon crap through there. We get a kickback. Same with jet.com. Go there, and I think they're still having their 15% off for the first three purchases that you get through jet.com. Same deal, majorityreportkickback.com. Again, join the majorityreport.com if you want to become a member. See you on Monday or in the fun half.